إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما إن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Satan عليه من يستحق من الله penetrates the soul of a human being through two major entries, dubiously and desire. The motives behind any person's disobedience do not deviate from one of these two, which seriously hinder, prevent, stop the believer from performing acts that the Almighty Lord is pleased with. There are many replies when you ask our beloved sisters in Islam, the female servants of the Almighty Lord, about the reason why they do not cover their modesty. Many replies do you hear? The first dubiosity, we can say, or reply, is faith is in the heart. Faith is in the heart. Among the most common replies that you receive from our sisters, uncovered sisters, when you ask them about the reason why they do not pertain the commitment to wear hijab, is faith is in the heart. Restricting faith to the heart will not commit a believer to paradise, nor will it save him from eternal damnation. The scholars of Islam have defined faith as the belief in the heart. This is the meaning of faith, brothers and sisters. This is the meaning of faith. It is the belief in the heart, the speech that the tongue utters, and thus the acts that conform to its pillars. If these three are not met, then your testimony to saying faith is in the heart is invalid, nullified, useless, it's frivolity. You are wasting your time. These three must be met for your faith to be accepted. The belief in the heart, the speech on the tongue, and the acts that conform to its pillars. Contemplate. You read the Quran. You see the Sunnah. You read the Sunnah. You implement, inshallah, the Sunnah. in the Quran, the glorious word of the Almighty Lord, whenever you see faith, what is it followed by? Work and action. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. It does not say الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا and stop, period. No. It says those who believe. Believe in what? Believe in La ilaha illallah. But it does not stop there. Ya Allah, what else do we have to do for our faith to be accepted? وَالَّذِينَ عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. When they believe, in order that your belief is accepted, it's genuine, it's authentic, and they performed righteousness. Let us consider this situation. You work as a bricklayer. Your boss comes to you and requested of you a special task. You know, maybe to put an extra pillar for extra support. The day goes past. He comes the next day. He inspects your work. Where's the pillar? I can't see anything. He looks at you. He's about to question you. You say to him immediately, I completely believe. I believe in what you said, you say to him. I am convinced deep in my heart that what you requested of me is true. T-R-U-E. But I don't want to do it. I don't feel like doing it. What are you going to do? He believes. He said, I believe. He's convinced deep in his heart. But I don't want to do it. Imagine yourself in such a situation with your boss. The awkwardness, the embarrassment, and ultimately the punishment that will be inflicted upon you by your boss. Put your tools down and get lost, you will say. Why? Because you're not fulfilling the desire, the work that he tells you. Is he going to be happy with you? Absolutely not. Extrapolate this. Then think that you will be before the hands of the Almighty Lord. Wallahi, the beloved. You will be before the hands of the one that created you. The very hands, the magnificent, perfect, excellent hands of Allah on the day of resurrection. Without anything, nor anybody to fend for you except the deeds. What are you going to say then? Allah says to you, Alhamdulillah, the first pillar, the testimony is performed. Open the page. Where's the prayer? Where's the fasting? Where's the pilgrimage? Where's the zakat? Where's the prohibitions from staying from them? Where's the fulfillment of the commandments? Where? Are you going to say, I believe, and I'm convinced deep in my heart that what you said is correct, but I'm not going to do it. Is that what you're going to say? Is that what you can say on that day? Faith is in the heart. You got to tell Allah, I believe I'm a good person. I don't smoke. I don't steal. I don't drink. I don't slander. But I don't want to pray. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to wear hijab. I've got a good heart. Imagine yourself in such a situation on the day of retribution, on the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters, fulfill the commandments of the Almighty Lord. Believe is not just to say, I believe. If you really believe, you will apply that which you believe. Otherwise, you are lying to yourself. It's a false accusation. Belief can only be belief when you show evidence, physical evidence to that which you believe. This is the belief. This is among the most common replies that we hear from our beloved sisters. May Allah guide us and guide them to that which He loves. Another reply that we hear when you asked our beloved sisters, why do you uncover? Why, dear sister? She will reply, what are you smiling at? She will reply, I would love to. I would love to. But Allah hasn't guided me yet. Please do du'a for me that Allah guides me. Please. Ad'ili. Allah yahdini. Allah has guided you. Allah has guided you, dear sister. And subhanAllah, there's a shaykh who mentions a beautiful example of this type of guidance. He said, this guidance is similar to a person who's seeking an address. He's looking for an address, but does not know where he's going. So in order to find his destination, he goes to whom? A traffic warden. To get the right directions, to go to his right address. After he receives the right directions from the traffic warden, the man faces two choices. How many? Two choices. He either believes in this warden and thus moves in accordance to what he received from the traffic warden. Consequently, if he does this, the farther he goes, the more guided he is, and the closer he is to his destination. Logical, common sense, reasoning, everything. Or he might say, no, I don't believe in this warden. I don't believe in his directions. And thus, he goes opposite direction than that which he was given. Consequently, the farther he goes, the more misguided he will be, the more lost he will be, and the further away he will be from his destination. Dear beloved, what have we got? What have we got before our very hands? What do you read every morning and every night before you go to sleep? What do you read every morning, every night? The glorious word of the Almighty Lord. The criteria between success and failure. The book that the Almighty Lord bestowed upon you is the guidance. Does it not say in the Quran, cover yourself? If you are a believer, cover yourself. Is it not a legislation? Is it not a commandment? There is guidance for everyone who wants this guidance. It is up to you, O Muslim, male or female. The more you adapt this guidance, the more you are towards paradise and salvation. The more you distance yourself from this beautiful book, the more distance you are from paradise and the closer you are to hellfire. The guidance is there. It's up to you. So do not say, I am not guided. Every single person was created like this, with an innate, an inclination to faith, knowing that Allah Ta'ala is his Lord, knowing what Allah loves and what Allah is displeased with. It is up to you to say, I am guided, but I don't want to be guided. Don't say I'm not misguided, I've been misguided. Ad'ili. Allah yahdina. No. Allah has shown you the guidance, you accept it now. It's up to you to accept or reject. Another common reply that we hear from our beloved sisters when you ask them about the reason for their non-commitment to hijab is, I am not convinced. When I am convinced that hijab, there's a good reason behind it, I shall wear it, they say. Subhanallah, ya khalaqana. You are not convinced to what? You want a good reason for wearing hijab? What do you think? This is the word of man? The command of man? This is the word of the Almighty Lord telling you this. It is not your father or mother or your uncle or your auntie or your grandpa or grandma. This is the word of Allah. He is the commander in this. Wear the hijab. You are not convinced. And when you are convinced, you will wear it. Tuf alayka. As Malik ibn Anas, one of the greatest imams in Islam, said, the word of man can be accepted and rejected. The word of man can be accepted or rejected. Except the word of whom? Of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because his word is divine. It's not his word. It's a divine command ordained by Allah. So the word of man, you can claim non-conviction. You can say, I'm not convinced. Not a problem. The word of man, it's deficient. It can be wrong. It can be right. You don't agree to it? Not a problem. But when the word of Allah, a divine command ordained by the Almighty Lord, either through the Quran or the Sunnah, no one has a place. No one is allowed to declare non-conviction. You are not allowed to say, I am not convinced. You have no right to say, I'm not convinced. Wallahi, it's a very serious, dangerous statement that can lead you, throw you out of the fold of Islam. As Abu Muhammad al-Barbahai mentioned, as Ishaq ibn Rahuwiya mentioned, as Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal mentioned, as Muhammad ibn Hazm mentioned, as many other predecessors, righteous predecessors mentioned, whoever denies one verse of the Quran or a sound hadith is on the brink of destruction, on the edge of Islam. He's going to fall down into kufr. Others said that whoever denies one hadith that is sound in its authenticity or one verse is a disbeliever. This is the same. Others said, his deen is questionable. Is he a Muslim or not? Allahu A'lam. How dare he denies a verse or the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By saying, I am not convinced, what are you doing? Why are you not convinced? Do you know who you're talking to here? Or about what you're talking about? It is better for the sister who is unveiled to say, I am disobeying Allah. I am disobeying Allah due to my irresistible desire and my lack of faith. Such statements, such words are definitely more advisable, better, easier, lighter than declaring non-conviction. We as Muslims, dear beloved, we don't stand as a judge before the commands of Allah Ta'ala, criticizing them or correcting them. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It is not fitting for a believer, man or woman, when Allah Ta'ala, when a matter has been decided by Allah and His Messenger, to have any option about their decision. About their decision. To have any option. In other words, you have no choice. You have no choice to say, except, I accept you, Allah. Whether it is a good reason, whether we can understand it, where there's logic behind it, common sense, it is not up to our human logic to judge the commands of Allah. And whosoever disobeys Allah and His Prophet, then indeed he's clearly misguided, Allah says. Instead, a true believer, the one who loves Allah, who fears Allah, who believes in Allah, who loves paradise and fears hellfire, he never puts human logic above divine command. His immediate reaction when he hears a command or a prohibition, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غَفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرَ. This is a true believer.
We hear, we obey, we seek your forgiveness, our Lord. And to you is the end of all journeys, the end of all endeavors. To you is our return.
Why? Because he knows, the believer knows, that in the commands of the Almighty Lord lies, rests our best interest, our happiness, our salvation, our joy, our bliss, our victory in this life and the hereafter. In this life and the hereafter. Is he not our creator? Is he not our manufacturer? Is he not our originator? Is he not our fashioner, our designer? Is he not? Yes, he is. Then logically, he knows best what is good, what is bad for us. So whatever he tells us to do, it is good for us. It is proper for us. And this is what we should do without question. Another reply that you hear our beloved sisters say when you ask them about the reason they do not wear hijab is, I fear that I will not get married. What do they say? I fear that I will not get married. This stems from the fear that no man will come and seek her hand for marriage unless they can see her hair or the shape of her body. And Satan, alayhi ma yastahakkum min Allah, uses this fear to stir up this dubiosity in the hearts of the female servants of the Almighty Lord and thus create this problem, this predicament, this catastrophe, this calamity, this evil, this wickedness. Because then she unveils. Dear beloved sisters, even though beauty is one of the main reasons for marrying a woman, it is not the only reason. It is not the only reason. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said clearly, تُنْكِحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرَبَعْ لِمَالِهَا لِحَسَبِهَا لِدِينِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا فَضْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَاتْ يَدَاكَ. The woman is married for four reasons. Her wealth, her family, her beauty, her deen. Listen to what he says after that. Be sure, or do your best. Better words, do your best to marry or to win the pious one. Why? May your hands be soiled with dust. In other words, may you attain salvation, victory, by doing this. This hadith clearly indicates that a woman is married for other reasons than just for beauty. Instead, today, men insist on marrying ladies who cover their modesty. Their logic is that if this person carelessly, unveiled person, carelessly ignores the divine command of hijab, then she is likely afterwards to disregard other divine commands as well. Isn't that beautiful logic? Did you understand this logic? In other words, if this person who is seeking a hand is unveiled, he fears because of her carelessness towards ignoring a divine command, which is the veil, not veiling, then she's likely at a later date to ignore, disregard other divine commands. Many times when the brothers ask me, Faiz, you got any woman for marriage? You know what they ask? I want her to be covered. Only covered. If she's not covered, don't even mention her. They fear. And they've got every right to fear. And some of them go to the extent where they don't want the handkerchief veil, they want the real veil. Not just veil, they want to sort of describe the type of veil. They want the Islamic veil. Not the handkerchief traditional veil. What do they want? the Islamic vow. And this is the majority of righteous men today. Now, dear beloved sister, do you want a hooligan for a husband? Do you not want a righteous man? Well, the righteous man is only going to ask for the lady who is covered Islamically. So if you want a good righteous man, as you should, just as we are advised to take a righteous lady, likewise, you are advised and commanded to take a righteous man. And a righteous man will always seek a lady who is covered, who covers her modesty, to the extent where men today seek the Islamic proper veil. And as soon as they hear that she's dressed Islamically with the proper veil, please, let me see her. But when you tell them, this beautiful sister, she's a good girl, she's got a lot of potential, but she's unveiled, please, please, don't get me in this problem now. Because they're scared. They're scared. So sister, don't let Satan use this fear and place it in your heart. Instead, you fear Allah, and wallahi, Allah will give you the best man, the righteous man, the pure man. And we all know the story of that lady that wanted a pure husband, and she married a so-called pure husband when he had a beard. The story is mentioned numerous times. And when the night of the consummation, he went and shaved his beard off, she says, I didn't marry you, I married a man, and she told him to get lost. This is the way we want our believing, inshallah ta'ala, servants of Allah ta'ala, female wives as well. Another common reply that we hear from our sisters, our uncovered sisters, is not from the sisters this time, it's from their parents. A common reply. They say to you, it is not fair to prohibit this young child from enjoying her life. She's still young. She's 20 years old, 19 years old. She's still young. She's still in the cradle. She's still young, they say. She still enjoys the beautiful hairstyles, makeup, dresses, the outings. Why do you want to restrict her for? This is the response you get from many parents. Many parents. According to Sharia, when a girl begins to menstruate, she is obliged, she is commanded to cover her modesty. We remind ourselves, especially to us, to our parents, dear beloved parents, wallahi, we bear a huge responsibility. We bear a huge responsibility before the Almighty Lord. If you've got children, do not be light. Do not take it easy. Do not take it leniently. Take it seriously. Tabarakallah. Look at that young girl. Tabarakallah. She's vowed at the age of probably 8 years old, 7 years old, 6 years old. He's got other girls, tabarakallah, 4 years old, they got hijab too. Is that correct, Hassan? Tabarakallah. What a beautiful example it is. What a beautiful example. Not even going to say to his daughter, please, what do you put it on for? Take it off. Batatina, you've embarrassed me for the people outside. Astaghfirullah. He knows he's got a responsibility before Allah. And he has to fulfill this responsibility. While they're under his care, he takes care of them Islamically. كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. Every single one of you is a shepherd, and every single shepherd will be asked about his flock. And the hadith mentions that the first shepherd in the house is whom? The father. And on the day of resurrection, he will be asked about each and every person of his flock. And in his absence, who's the shepherd? The mother, as the hadith mentions, the mother. When he's not there, oh mother, you are the shepherd, and you will be asked on the day of resurrection while your husband was absent about each and every person of your flock. Never ever be the reason to distance your child from paradise, because you will be punished for it if Allah wills. If we want to be as good parents, if we want to be good parents, we are not allowed to pick and choose what aspect of Islam we want and omit, throw out what we do not want. We can never ever be good parents if we are of such status. And the reason I say this is a story about this girl called Hina. Hina was an attractive 15-year-old with a slender, attractive figure. She used to go to the Islamic weekend classes, dressed in short dresses, and skin-tight sweaters. One day when she was being picked up by her mother, the teacher approached her mother and said, "Please encourage your daughter to cover herself, to cover her modesty, as she is causing fitna in the school." Obviously, there's guys there as well. And a person wearing such clothes was going to cause a problem in the school. So when night fell, the mother goes to her daughter, "Hina, no more short dresses, no more skin-tight sweaters. You have to dress Islamically," scolded the mother. Hina looked at her. "What? Have you seen yourself? Have you looked at yourself in the mirror? I can see everything about your shape. I can see all your shin and knees. You have nothing on your head," angrily spoke Hina. "You're telling me to dress when you're out naked in the streets? Why do you think I dress the way I dress? You are my role model. And I'm dressing like you and I'm imitating you," she said to her mother. Double personality. She's commanding her to do good, or herself, she's doing evil. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You are responsible for your children. You bear this burden. You bear this burden. You be their role examples. They're Islamic, genuine, authentic role models. Don't lie, deceive, and cheat your children. Be their role models. Another reply that we hear from our beloved uncovered sisters, this time, they say, "My husband does not let me wear the hijab. Or he commands me not to wear the hijab." Now come on. Which husband, a Muslim, believing Muhsin, which man who fears Allah will prevent his wife from being covered, from loving Allah or getting closer to Allah? Which man would want his wife to uncover in front of other men? Shame on you, if you are so. Shame on you. A'udhu billah. Wallahi, if this is the person, he needs to be flogged. Flogged and flogged. The basic concept we must understand, dear beloved, is that obeying Allah, take this very, very importantly and put it in your life. Obeying Allah has priority over obeying any human being, no matter who she or he may be. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الله. There is no obedience to creation if it means disobedience to whom? To Allah. No matter if he's your father, your mother, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, no matter whom he may be, who she may be, you never ever disobey Allah to obey a creature. Ever. In fact, disobeying a human being, no matter who it may be, in order to obey Allah is a great reward. A great reward. Wallahi, you will be profited for it. Unfortunately today, shamelessness, immorality, immodesty are extremely rife. You know, to see one's daughter, wife, mother or sister without hijab is something small. It's a small matter. Not a problem. It's easy. The blood of modesty does not boil in our bodies as it should be. You may see your wife talking to another man who's not mahram to her, and you don't care less. You see another man seeing your wife without hijab, you don't care less. You see another man looking at the shins of your wife, you don't care less. What fa'alak? And fa'alak again. That type of person. Because you need to revive and revise your deen. Sit down and relearn your deen. Sit down and relearn your deen. Dear sister, in the days of the companions, or I should say, dear brother, in the days of the companions, their modesty was so strong, that one of the companions, on his return home one day, he noticed his wife unveiled in the middle of the threshold, the middle of the door. Upon seeing her unveiled, he lost his temper, and overpowered by his sense of honor, he aimed his spear, he aimed it with the intention to harm his wife. But she called out, "There's a snake in the house! There's a snake in the house!" He did not fulfill or execute his intention. "No, what are you doing? What's going on?" Straight away, aimed it. And before he could shoot that spear, "Wait! There's a snake in the house. Please, do not shoot that spear." Deeply moved by modesty. I'm not saying you guys do the same thing. You know, I'll be locked up tomorrow and phone in there. I'm not saying this. And I will never say this. You know, people can misconstrue the words today. I am not saying this. I am showing you or giving you an example. This is an authentic narration. An authentic narration of a man, a husband, deeply moved by modesty, and thus he almost done something dreadful. We say to our sisters, paradise is expensive. And like everything expensive, what are you going to do? You've got to work hard. So if your husband or your mother or your father command you to unveil, do not listen to them. You are not allowed to listen to them. You must disobey them. And just know one thing. Hadith in Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi Sahih, with an authentic transmission, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something beautiful to all of us. Whoever seeks the pleasure of Allah through the wrath of the people, Allah will withhold him or her against the people. In other words, if you seek obedience of Allah, despite the people being angry with you, Allah Ta'ala will help you, O servant of Allah, and not of people, against those evil, wicked people. Then he says, the next phrase, but whoever seeks the pleasure of the people through the wrath of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala will leave you, O sinful servant, to the people. Your choice. And I asked his sister if she is not allowed to wear the hijab because of her husband, and he persists that, to seek an arbitration, because this man does not deserve you. This man does not deserve you. You deserve a better person than him. And you are allowed here to go and talk to an arbitrator and thus arbitrate between the two of you. We don't know when we're going to die. You don't know when you're going to die, dear sister. You know, there's no expiry date on your body. You don't see the back of your shoulder and it says expiry date June 16, year 2030, for example. We don't know when we're going to die. Is it after a month? Is it after a week? Is it after a day? Is it after an hour or a second? No one can guarantee you that you're going to live for a few additional seconds. No one can guarantee you. And we'll end this talk with this beautiful story. Some of you have already heard it, but inshallah, be patient with us. The story of Ahmad. Because many sisters say, when we ask them about the reason why they don't wear hijab, They said, we're too young. And here, when they say they're too young, they mean that they're still around between the ages of 15 to 25. Listen to this hadith, or this incident that partook. A man by the name of Ahmed relates, he said, were three companions. Our common denominators was impetuousness and vanity. With three human companions, human, but Satan was our fourth. Our pastime was spent in picking up gullible girls by sweet-talking them and taking them to isolated farms where they saw who we really are. Human wolves with no hearts or feelings. Who did not heed to their tears and their begging. This is the way we spent our life, Ahmed said. Girls, camps, beaches, farms, cars, the works. Until that unforgettable day. As normal, he said. We were at the farm, isolated. Everything was prepared for us. A prayer for each one of us. In other words, a girl for each one of us. The damn drink. And the nice atmosphere. The only thing that we forgot, he said, was the food. So after a couple of hours, one of us decided to go and buy the food. But when 4 hours had passed and he did not return, I began to worry. So Ahmed jumped in his car, as he says, and he went searching for his brother. As he was driving, he noticed a car involved in an accident, tipped on its side, and flames were shooting above the car. As he got nearer the car, he discovers that it's who? The car of his brother. So he immediately parked the car and ran in order to save his brother from the burning flames. But when he got to the car, he found his brother, that half his body has charred, become dark while still alive. So he pulls his brother out of the car and places him on the side of the road. And within minutes, his brother opens his eyes and cries out, "The fire, the fire!" Ahmed started talking to him to soothe him and promised him that he will get him to the nearest hospital as fast as possible. But his brother said with a weak, crying voice, "It is no use. I will never make it." Tears blurred his vision. Ahmed's vision, witnessing his brother dying before his very hands. Then suddenly, he cries out, "What shall I say to him?" His brother cries out, "What shall I say to him?" His brother cries out, "What shall I say to him?" Ahmed says, "What shall you say to whom?" He goes, "What shall I say to Allah? What shall I say to Allah? The ever living, the ever existing, the everlasting. The one who saw all that we did, me and you, Ya Ahmed. The one who heard all that we said, me and you, Ya Ahmed. The one who knows all that we did, me and you, Ya Ahmed. And the one who would judge all that we did, me and you, Ya Ahmed. What shall I say to Allah?" Now he's scared. He knows he's going to die. That's all he can say. What shall I say to him? It's too late to say anything now. He's on his deathbed. What he did, it's too late. He's accounted for. He's judged for. Panic struck his heart, Ahmed says. And then suddenly a long shriek came out from him. His brother, and he died. He said this picture, Ahmed saying, never left my mind. Until one night, I was sleeping, thinking about the incident. and how my brother died in my hands, before my very eyes. Then all of a sudden I heard the adhan commencing for Fajr. Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Ahmed broke down. And tears unchecked came running down his face. He could not bear the sound. He loved the sound. And then when the announcer proclaimed, Hayya ala salah! Hayya ala al-falah! Come ya Ahmed to good work! Come ya Ahmed to prayer! Ahmed said. It was as though the proclaimer was speaking to no other than me, commanding me to abandon my evil ways and open the door of salvation. It was as though the proclaimer was commanding me to close the curtain of darkness and open the curtain of light. To close the curtain of evilness, wickedness, mischievousness, and open the curtain of righteousness. To close the curtain of destruction and open the curtain of salvation. To close the curtain of hellfire and open the curtain of paradise. To close the curtain against the two-horned, ugly, deceiving, accursed, rejected liar. And open the curtain to the most gracious, most forgiving. The acceptor of repentance. Despair not, O believers. Allah is repentant. He accepts your repentance. Despair not, O believers. And open the curtains of Allah. Al-Malik al-Quddus. As-Salamu al-Mu'min. Al-Muhaymin al-Aziz al-Jabbar al-Mutakabbir. Word. And thus, Ahmed, you should be all upset. Ahmed got up, done wudu, raised his arms, and sought repentance. And from that day, he became a believer. We ask the Almighty Lord, first and foremost, for our beloved uncovered sisters in Islam, be patient, be patient, be patient, for death is awaiting you. And paradise awaits us all. And we ask and we pray to our sisters who are covered, may Allah bless you and keep you strong and patient against all evil. And we ask our beloved brothers to be strong and to be wise and to be fair and just against their female relatives and to love Allah, for indeed He is the only one who truly should be loved. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَأَخْرُ دَعْوَانِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ
وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن